Welcome back to the Kinect for Windows SDK Quick Starts. This video is working with depth data. So in our last video, we talked about the camera fundamentals. The things you should have taken away from that is we have a runtime object. We tell it what kind of image to use. Use color, use depth. We sign up for an event, whether it's a depth frame ready or video frame ready. We open the streams. We get in that event that's going to fire around 30 frames per second. We get the raw data for the image, and we need to build that image. So in this one, we're going to talk about how we build a depth image and the data that's actually coming back from the depth frame. So just to recap, the data when we had that event, it's an image frame that's coming back, includes the frame number and a number of different properties. And then the planar image has the actual data. So the difference here is the video frame has the actual contents of the video, say like a snapshot of an image, inside the bits byte array. The depth data actually has more than that. It doesn't have the actual data of the image. It has distance data. And we're going to walk through that in this session and show you how you can use that distance data to create your own images. So remember, this is imageframe.image.bits. It's an array of bytes. And the way the array is structured is that it starts at the top left of the image and then moves left to right in rows, if you will, then top to bottom. And basically, it's a representation of a distance per pixel. So that's at a very high level what's going on and how the array of data is structured. So we have distance data inside that bits array, not red, green, blue data. That's what we're actually going to build based on that distance data. So how is this stored? So it's in 2 bytes per pixel, so 16 bits total. Now, there's actually a different formula depending on which type of image you set up the runtime option for. If you set up the runtime option for depth, you bit shift the second byte by 8. And if you sign up for depth and player index, you're going to do different formulas. So for the first one, second byte by 8, if we wanted to get the distance of the point at 0, 0, we pass in, or we use a bit shifting formula of bit 0, which represents the first byte, and then bits 1, and then we bit shift that second byte by 8, and that gives us the distance in millimeters for that particular, for 0, 0, I now know the distance from the Kinect sensor. Now, when you're talking about depth and player index, what we're actually doing is actually adding the skeletal information in here. So it includes the player index, which is, hey, I know that this particular point represents a player index. So what we're doing is we have a different formula. We bit shift the first byte, bit 0, for 0, 0, we bit shift by 3, the first byte, because that contains the data for what the player index is, and then 5, the second byte. And the specific formula is below, so I just realized that to get the distance for 0, 0, it depends on whether using depth and depth and player index, and the depth and player index actually includes the player index data. So that's the actual formula. So for reference purposes, a range can exist from about 850 millimeters to 4,000 millimeters in terms of total distance. The closer you get, it's just going to tell you 850 millimeters as the minimum distance, if you will. Now, sometimes you'll get a depth value of 0, and that means unknown, meaning shadows, low reflectivity, high reflectivity among the few reasons. But there's a number of reasons you may actually get a 0 for a depth value. Now, the player index, that if you're using the depth and player index, you have 3 possible values. 0, this particular pixel is not an actual player. Or this particular pixel, a player index of 1 represents the first skeleton, or skeleton 0. A player index of 2 represents skeleton 1 because it's a 0-based array. Skeleton 0 is player index 1. Okay, so that is our high-level depth reference. Let's jump into code and show what we can do using that byte array and deciding how we want to color it. So in this case, again, back to setting up the development environment video, we have a window loaded, unloaded event. we have a runtime, and in this case, let me just full screen this, and we'll start walking through our demos. So in window loaded, we have, let me just up the font size here. Use depth and player index. So we want to get that player index data back. We're going to use skeletal tracking as well so we can get the player index. We register for the event like we did before. And we open the event. We open the depth stream with a 320 by returning a 320 by 240 image. So when this depth frame ready value comes back, we could have used the coding for fun library to just display the monochrome histogram. But instead, what we want to do is actually generate our own. We're going to generate our own byte array that represents colors. So we are going to pass in the image frame and do that. So let's just jump to this method. So what we do is you give me an image frame, and I'm going to return to you an array of a byte array that represents the colors in a specific format. And that format will be blue, green, red, but we'll talk about it. So we have the height and width data for the image. And now this is the depth data. So this is the byte array that we were talking about, where every pixel, 0, 0, has a specific distance from the Kinect sensor, 850 to 4,000. So what we want to do, though, is basically loop through this data. And we'll talk about how we're going to loop through it in just a second. But we also need a container for when we're actually building the color frame. So the way this works is we're going to multiply the height times the width times 4. So for every pixel, every pixel has a height, a width, location, so 0, 0, and then a representation of red, green, blue, and an empty byte at the end. And that's because we're using, that's just the format of the BGR 32. If we did want to use transparency data, we could use BGRA, and just realize that you have to set the transparency, because .NET defaults a byte to 0, which would be fully transparent, and you won't see anything, and you'll be wondering what you can do. So, and really, just to take a step back before we get into actually building ours, just realize the reason we're doing this is we have depth data. Now we can do something interesting based on that depth data. So we can choose how we're going to colorize this picture based on its depth. So I'm going to show you just the basics, one basic mechanism to do that, just using three if statements. And you can, of course, make yours much more complex or make it scale or whatever you want to. But just realize the point is we have distance data for every pixel. How do we then want to choose the colors based on that distance value? And it could be distance plus height, distance plus width, where you can imagine something doing like starting from a light shade to a dark shade at the bottom. Whatever it happens to be, the point is you can build your colors. Okay. So for a specific BGR format, they have an index, blue, which is the first one, because BGR, green is number 2, red is number 3, and these are, of course, 0 base, so 0, 1, 2. Now, we are going to loop through, I mentioned before it goes rows to columns, so that means columns, which is Y, is going to be the external loop, right? And in the inner loop, we're going to loop through the width, right? Going from 0, 0 to 640, 1, 640, 2, 640. So now we have this loop that we're going through. Now we have a method here that we've built, and what it's going to do is calculate the distance with the player index. So we showed two formulas before. This is going to be the formula. Let's just jump to it. Formula for calculating with distance with player index. So remember, we have to pass in two frames at a time. So for point 0, 0, we pass in the first byte and the second byte. We do this bit shifting operation. Make sure to do this to account for the player index being in depth with player index, and we return the distance. So at this point, let's just scroll back. For point 0, 0, we now know the distance. And this is where we're choosing the colorization. So this is where you all can do this. And this is just a very basic colorization. We mentioned the range is 850 to 4000. So it's anything less than equal to 900. We're really close to the connect. So if that's the case, I'm going to choose the color blue and max out the color blue and not use any green or red. Now, if we're between 900 and 2000, which is about half, we're going to make everything green. And if we're over 2000, meaning we're a little farther away, you can do the Bingit to convert 2000 millimeters into inches or whatever your favorite form of measurement is, meters, hectares, etc. If it's greater than 2000, we're going to color everything red. So I have some code commented out here. And at 0, 0, we got the distance, we're choosing the color, and we are adding to our color frame the blue, green, red index based on the distance from that value. And just remember, at the end of this loop, we do need to, because each color represents two, we're always going two at a time. Each distance represents two bytes. Okay, we've talked a lot about the code. Let's just see it in action. So here's our awesome histogram. And what you see here is three colors. Let's see if we can go green. And as my hand goes closer, it becomes blue. And you can see, I think the threshold was 900. So this is the 900 threshold. And if I move my hand way far back, you can see it on here. It actually passes the 2000 threshold to make everything red. So what we've done is just decided based on the data that we had, based on the distance for each pixel, what are those three colors to choose? Fun stuff. Now, one thing we talked about earlier was the player index. So I'm going to uncomment this. We can actually choose, when we're looping through the pixels, we can find out if that pixel represents a specific player. So I have a helper method here. I'm going to go to get player index. And the formula for this is, now it's only, the player index, remember, is only in that first one because we bit shifted by 3. Now we're going to do a bitwise and on the first frame. And that's going to return the player index. Valid values are 0. It's not a person, or it's not a player that's being tracked. 1 is the first, 1 represents skeleton 0. And then 2 represents skeleton 1. And if that isn't confusing, you can check this slide and make sure you're doing the right thing. So let me just show you. Oh, actually, let's talk about the colors we're doing. So if we have a player, now we could choose a different color for player 1 versus player 2. Or find out, we could choose whatever way. These are really basic ways that we're coloring, right? We're basically, in this case, choosing full green and full red to color any player. Greater than 0 means that it's either going to be player 1 or player 2. And we can track up to 2 skeletons per connect. And what I'm going to do is just stand up here. And with any luck, our skeleton tracking will turn on. And as you can see here, the combination, those two color combinations make me sort of this yellow gold person. And I'm now tracked. And what you see is it doesn't matter what distance is because that colorization is at the very end of my code. And I'm saying, hey, if this point represents a skeleton, then I want you to color it full green and full red, which gives me that wonderful yellow glow. Okay. So we've seen how we can get player index information combined with depth data. The last thing I want to show you is just the formula that we actually use in the Coding for Fun Connect library, and that's actually in the skeletal viewer sample as well. And this is calculating intensity based on depth. So we've hard-coded said, if you're either this, you're either close, middle, or far, or you're a player. Those are the four scenarios that we've done so far. Instead, what we can do is actually scale the value, meaning choose what value for 255 to do it and apply it equally across these. What this is going to do is choose a shade of gray. So let me just jump to this value. So we have an intent. intensity, and we set it across all three, and that's the same thing that we're going to show. Let me just jump into the formula. And we do the 4,850, and then the max distance offset, which is just the subtraction of those two. Let's just full screen this. So 4,000 minus 850. And then I won't bother going through this formula, but basically what this is going to return is a value between 0 and 255, and it basically scales whether you're very light gray to white or very dark gray to black. It's going to scale that value 0 to 255. And when you set that across all of your colors, the way we do here, then you're going to get those shades of gray. And let's just show that in action. And this is just going to overwrite data above since we're putting it at the bottom. And now we have the shades of gray. The darker, the farther away you get, it's now choosing the different shades of gray. So, and I think skeletal tracking should still work if order of operations is correct. So now I have Goldman inside a monochrome world, which is a new upcoming title I'm building. Okay, so we've walked through a lot of things within the depth data. We'll put the samples available, but the point is when you're working with depth data, you're not getting an actual image, you're getting a distance per pixel. What you do with that distance per pixel and how you color it is up to you. The nice thing is, too, is you can choose different colors based on player data as well. Thanks, and in our next video, we're going to walk through, now that we've shown skeletal tracking for depth data, we're actually going to show how you can track different joints within positions in the skeleton engine. Thanks.